Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you could join us, as well as those tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Roseanne Welch is making her first appearance on our program this year to talk to us not only about her new book, Why the Monkeys Matter, Teenagers, Television, and American Pop Culture, but why this is a topic she has really enjoyed discussing, what it's been like for her to look beyond the television show characters as well as the group, and also the impact that they've been able to have, not only, I think, on the country, but also in many ways on the world and the national conversations that have been taking place. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But, Roseanne, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. Hello to you.
You know, this is a really interesting book, and I have to say, I went into this knowing about the Monkees, the television show, of course, knowing about the group, but not really knowing anything about how it all began. And I think what was so interesting about the book, Why the Monkees Matter, is that you not only take us into the individuals of the group, but the individuals behind the individuals and how, you know, the different storylines were constructed, the things that they were sharing, and in many ways how they were groundbreaking to what had been done at the time. What has that been like for you, Roseanne, to be able to not only to take us into a group that we believe we know, but to be able to share so many new slivers to their lives?
Well, for me, it was pretty exciting because I was a television writer for a long time, and then I joined academia, as it were, and became a professor. And to blend those two parts of my life were pretty fun. I teach television writing and critical studies, and one of my focuses is to prove that the writers are so deeply important to everything we see. We're very used to accrediting directors, and directors are lovely, but writers put their lives on pages, and we experience those lives. So that was what my big movement was, to try to focus on. The writers on the show were amazing. One of them had been a speechwriter for Robert Kennedy when he was running for the Senate in New York. And the others had won Emmys later in their career for working on shows like Mary Tyler Moore and Laugh-In. And nobody knew that. Everyone thought it was just this crazy mix of stuff put together on the stage. So it was really nice to highlight that. And then also, there have been some academics who take the Monkees seriously. They considered them second-rate Beatles. And that turned out to be incredibly wrong because the show won an Emmy in its first year. I mean, this was the Big Bang Theory of its day.
Right, right. And so, here we are now. I'm sorry, go ahead, Roseanne.
I was going to say, and so that's why I felt it needed a closer look.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, here we are now, 50 years later, them celebrating, of course, you know, their 50th anniversary. They'll be here in my home state of Mississippi later on this year, so I know people have already been able to get their tickets for that. You know, do you think that is one of the things that people did not expect, that they would be able to have the longevity, Roseanne, that they have had, and also the importance that they've had to not only pop culture but to the world?
Oh, I think that's very true. I mean, no one can expect the thing that they're working in is going to be such a huge success. And many of them in interviews over the years have said that. Part of it is because it was more than just a silly program full of kids running around. The music had a message. The stories had a message. They took the time to think about what they were saying to their audience. And they were very honest to students and teenagers at that time. And again, no one expected it, so they got away with much more on television than other people did. I mean, the Smothers Brothers were canceled for discussing the Vietnam War and allowing Pete Seeger to sing Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. But the Monkees talked about Vietnam, and nobody paid attention.
I think that is it. And I think even as you discuss in the book, especially in the chapter We Were Made for Each Other, you talk about some of those things that for others would have been such shocks, but because of the way that the show was presented, was able to allow them to not only to get away with things, but also, I think, to be part of a conversation that still continues to this day, ironically. I think that was another thing that got me. Even though here you're talking about these individuals that were introduced to us years ago, before I was even born, the relevance is still there. And I think not only the relevance, but also the way that they were able to include humor in it. Do you think that also has been part of why it's been easier to digest, Roseanne? Is that because a lot of times when things are said and there is that humor there, the laugh there, that it not only makes you kind of amused, but also makes you think a little bit?
Oh, exactly. That's the secret to all good comedy. It's social commentary. And in this case, they were making deep social commentaries, as I said, about the war, and particularly about what was happening with young people. They had many jokes about their long hair and how, in fact, at that time period, if you had long hair, you weren't allowed into Disneyland. And isn't that odd to think that they wouldn't allow someone, long hair is so normal to us today, but it was quite odd back then, and mark them as rebels and potentially bad men when they were, you know, young actors, nothing wrong with them.
Right. Right. I think another thing where one of the segments, I guess, that art did imitate life was how as the group was seen to be struggling at times, you know, on television, that was something that the monkeys, they could understand as well. There, you know, it kind of being that thing. There's also another thing that you discuss in the book that I did not know in relation to them, but it makes sense when you think about a lot of things that we see today, especially in the age of reality television, right, where, you know, people, you know, are seen a certain way on television, and then that does not always translate either to their quote-unquote real life or they get typecasted. That was one of the fears that were happening with the monkeys. Have you found that as you have been able to discuss the monkeys with others, Roseanne, I thought about this question when I was prepping for this segment. It is one of the things that we can learn is that really in many ways when it comes to entertainers, the more things change, the more they do stay the same, that there are still some who struggle with being able to equal the success that they sometimes portray on television, on screen, or on the stage.
Oh, I think that's a big problem in the United States. For whatever reason, we don't understand the concept of a Renaissance person, so that we had these actors, Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones. Davy Jones had begun on Broadway. He had a Tony nomination for being Oliver as a child. And nowadays, that's like Neil Patrick Harris. We can see him going from television to Broadway, back to television to do the Tonys and all of that. But back in the day, once you were one thing, you were that thing only. So you were a teen idol. You were a singer. No one expected you to get an Academy Award as an actor. And yet Frank Sinatra had done just that, right? He had done that in his own career. And even to this day, the joke was Cher was a singer. She couldn't act. Then she got an Academy Award. She's an actress who couldn't sing. So she went back on tour to prove she was a rock star. It's ridiculous that we can't imagine that. So it took someone like Mickey Dolenz many years to get himself onto Broadway and prove that he was a Renaissance performer who could do both the silly, giggly television, who could do stand on stage and sing rock and roll, and who could be in Hairspray, for heaven's sakes, which is an entirely character-based performance.
Right. Exactly. And I think that, again, is why this is such a timely topic. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, having a great conversation today with Roseanne Welch. She's the author of the new book, Why the Monkeys Matter, Teenagers, Television, and American Pop Culture. You devote a whole chapter to words, something that we give a lot of credence to on this program, Roseanne. But also, I think you help us to understand how the longevity of the monkeys and their success can be, you know, really traced back to the power of words. Not only, of course, the songwriters, as you discuss in the chapter, but also the writers of the show. Do you think that is one of the things that gets lost? And I think it's one of the sad things, right, that happens, because we think a lot of times when we look at these great shows, we give a lot of credence and a lot of respect and credit to the actors, and they, of course, are bringing the words to life, whatever they might be. But it really is the people behind the words that are really kind of, you know, making the show run. I mean, do you think that's one of the things that has surprised people who have been involved in the monkey's success?
I think entirely that's true. For me, it started as an article for Written by Magazine, which is a magazine of the Writers Guild. And I had interviewed these writers who were in their mid to late 70s and had the most wonderful time meeting them individually and finding about the body of their whole work. I mean, Coslow Johnson had started on The Monkees and Bewitched. He's Artie Johnson's brother, so you can imagine he's this impish, wonderful little man. And he ended up getting an Emmy for being on Laugh-In, which was the Saturday Night Live of its day. You know, it was the highest-end television comedy you could work on, and he began on The Monkees. And much of what he did on The Monkees is what people remember when they remember segments. He did a marvelous piece where Liberace guest starred, and he destroyed a piano. He hacked it to death with a sledgehammer. And everyone remembers that, and they think, oh, you know, Michael Nesmith was in that scene. He influenced that, and he was part of the scene, but Coslow imagined it, wrote it on a piece of paper, and ta-da, there it was on screen.
Wow. Amazing. Again, one of the things that a lot of people don't know. So what has surprised you the most about your research? Because you do a lot of research, you know, on, you know, how the monkeys became the monkeys, their influence on television, but also beyond. What surprised you the most in your discoveries?
Oh, a few things, I would say. One of them that I've mentioned in many lectures and book signings is that I didn't expect the show to have what we would call in academia a feminist ideology. In that I thought a show about four rock and rollers, if I went back and looked at it, would be all about who was having sex with who which week, which is kind of what the Big Bang Theory has devolved into. And then I looked at it. And, of course, we had different kinds of rules about what could be done on television back in the day, so they weren't allowed to go there. But I don't think they would have in the first place, because their themes had to do with independence and freedom for teenagers, and it had to do with the desire to make music with a message. They weren't characters on the show weren't looking to be famous and rich, which seems to be the goal today, right? They were looking to make music that affected people. And that message really stuck with people. So then when I looked deeper into the women on the show, expecting to find airhead cheerleaders and ditzy little girls, I found every girl they ever dated had a job, or she was in school and worried about her grades, or in some way had a mission in life, right down to the princess, which is your classic, iconic, silly character. But the princess who fell in love with Davy Jones in one of the early episodes, in fact, left him not because he wasn't good enough, but because she had an obligation to her people to return and do her job. And I keep telling my friends, that means as a kid when I watched the show myself, I must have learned, you know, subconsciously that if I wanted to date a monkey, I had to be a woman of substance. I had to be about something. And those kinds of messages come to us in television all the time. I think television is so deeply important because it's essentially free. Forget about cable. especially in our childhood, it was free. And so you don't really – there's a great bit in Sonia Sotomayor's autobiography, where she mentions as a child in New York – what she calls, she's a New York Regan, she says she watched Perry Mason, and that's how she learned that the job of lawyer exists and that it was worthwhile to do well in school so she could have that job when she grew up. And, of course, now she's a justice on the Supreme Court. So imagine the power of that television program in the life of a poor child.
You know, I think for me, one of the things that I'd never thought about Roseanne, before reading the book, was the fact that how as individuals, and this is another thing I think we forget, and I know I've been guilty of this in the past, is that you begin to look at people as how they're presented instead of who they really are. And in the case of the monkeys, with them using their real names, I can only imagine what that must do to your identity for yourself psychologically. To play someone named you and to do things that you may not would have done, and then to be able to leave that and then still be that name, be that person that people will connect to this. For me, the closest to early reality television, I would say, other than what we saw in their case, was not their real reality, even though in many ways it became their the weirdness of their reality as a group. For you, when it comes to, I asked you about, you know, what surprised you the most. Have you found that there has been a common theme, that there has been when it comes to audiences that you've been able to speak to about the monkeys, as far as things that have stood out to them?
What stands out to them is their nostalgic memories, and they are shocked to find that the show was more serious than they might assume, that somebody like Timothy Leary took it so seriously that he wrote about it in The Politics of Ecstasy back in the day. He knew at the time what he called it sort of subconscious information that was streaming into young children. And the issue was that people thought that they were a bubblegum kind of a group, but their music was not, and their own lives were not. Such that they mentioned, even at the end of several programs, they would do little tiny one-minute interviews, where the fictional characters left and the real actors were asked questions about their own lives. And talk about confusing your identity construction there. I don't know what America thought.
Right.
But, for instance, Mickey Dolenz admits that he went to the Sunset Strip riots or demonstrations, as he called them, which had to do with curfew issues in Los Angeles at the time. And so imagine crossing those two worlds. And was it Mickey the Monkey who went, or was it Mickey Dolenz, the young actor who had grown up in Los Angeles, who went? And how could the audience know back in the day? So I think that that was an issue that followed them through much of their careers. In fact, Treva Silverman, who was the only female television writer who was working without a male partner at the time. So there's a big moment there for women writers. And she ended up getting an Emmy for working on the Maritime Memoir show later on. She talked to me about creating the characters. And again, here we're going from the reality to character. And each of the characters sort of has they're a type you want in the show. So Michael Nesmith was the leader and the strong, serious one. Nicky Dolenz was the goofy sort of clown. Davy Jones was, the pretty boy, the gorgeous teen idol. And they had an option with Peter Tork. Every group needs either the super intelligent nerd or the goofy, stupid idiot. And as a group of writers, they decided it was easier to write jokes for the idiot than the nerd. So they made his character an idiot. But he was, in fact, probably the best educated of all of them and had, in fact, an ability to play 5 or 6 different instruments. So he was even the best musician in many ways. Yet his character on the show was so ridiculous, he made root beer soup.
A lot that we will remember from.
A while.
Yeah, you're right. A lot definitely we will remember from the Monkees, and will continue to be able to make memories with them. Things I mentioned, they're on tour right now. You all can go to themonkees.com for the tour dates there. But the book we've been discussing today is Why the Monkees Matter, Teenagers, Television, and American Pop Culture by Roseanne Welch. The book's available through our friends at Amazon.com. And Roseanne, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Oh, thank you so much. I have a blog. It's RoseanneWelch.com. And I have a Facebook page for the book called Why the Monkees Matter, so you can find it on Facebook, and I'll be posting about book signings and different events. And there is a lot going on this year. They're touring all over the country. They're planning to leave the country and go to Europe and Australia, which people there are pretty excited about. And they have fans all over the world, so I'm sure that the discussion will continue and continue and continue.
There you go. I'm sure it will. Roseanne, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you. I will let you know the next thing I work on.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.